So how do you prepare in light of the enforcement age that we're living in? So again, tying this back to your initial consultation, you want to cover things going back to when your client first applied for a visa. What was your reason for coming here? What did you say at the embassy? I'll give you an example. I had a gentleman who said his company filed for his B1 to come to the United States. And the secretary that submitted the application, the online application, stated he was married. So he arrived in the U.S. after he was issued the visa. He met a very nice girl, and he got married to her. And then, you know, they pro se filed for the I-130 and the 485. Well, come time for the interview, the officer pulled up that application and said, hey, this marriage you're in is not valid because you were previously married to somebody else and you did not include that in your I-130 application. So, you know, again, you want to cover all those issues. If there was any misrepresentation, how do you want to address that? If the person was previously married, where's your divorce decree? Prepare for that type of adjudication to be more rigorous than before. Again, we touched on status violations. We've touched on public charge issues. And then, again, you want to check to be sure your client has disclosed all criminal arrests and dispositions. Preferably, you want to also get a copy of all convictions, all dismissals. Get them certified. You really should be filing with certified copies. Don't cross your fingers and hope that you'll get an RFE. You know, go ahead and get that done up front because your client may have some inadmissibility issues and you do not want to find out about that after you've already filed. It may be that your client doesn't even have a waiver. So you want to make sure you've got all those documents from every possible arrest, including any aliases they may have used, because USCIS will probably know about that once fingerprints are run through.
Did you want to talk about the memos?
Oh, yes. And very quickly, a lot of you may already know we had two memos issued last year. We had the RFE memo that was from July of 2018, and that was the RFE memo. A lot of you know that. You know, basically, USCIS was discouraging bare-boned applications. They wanted to have the prerequisite documents needed for that application filed along with the documents filed along with the application. So you may want to go through the USCIS website. There are checklists that go with each application, but those checklists are not exhaustive of everything that you need, but definitely use the checklists at the minimum. The other memo was the NTA memo, and basically that provided guidance on what cases they were going to be referring to the immigration court. These were on cases where applications were denied, so you want to make sure you go through that. And that memo was from June of 2018. The RFE memo basically was not supposed to penalize people for innocent mistakes or misunderstandings of evidentiary requirements. But again, the idea was to discourage incomplete and frivolous applications, more like placeholders.
One thing that Irene and I talked about was the practice of waivers, and that a lot of practitioners had gotten used to pocket waivers, so taking an I-601 with you to the interview and waiting to see if the officer would say there was alien smuggling or fraud, and then just hand over the waiver at that point. I personally feel like if there's any issue, go ahead and file the waiver at the outset. I think it's the safest thing for the client, but then also make the officer adjudicate it so that it's on the record whether or not they believe there's fraud and whether the waiver is approved or not, because it can come back up at the naturalization phase if they an officer down the road says, oh, you committed alien smuggling, but you never filed a waiver. So I think it's appropriate to start filing from the outset.
And if I may, I think a well-prepared packet on top of the additional documentation that they need. This is just kind of thinking about small things and big things. I think the panel before us touched on making sure you have the right version of forms, mm-hmm. Because those are changing rapidly and they change without notice sometimes. So make sure that you've got the right version of forms. Make sure you've got the right address. That's another thing the panel before us touched on. And then, of course, the priority dates. Let's be sure we've got priority dates that are ripe so that your clients are not getting denials and getting placed in proceedings because things were filed prematurely. That could be costly for the client legally and costly mm-hmm. for the client financially.